Moses' anger with Eleazar and Ithamar appeased?
Consider these words. He did just so. We all know those words. Those are very important words to live by, highlighting the need for obedience. But consider these words. The principle is more important than the rule. Now, those are also important words that we need to live by. Our Bible reading for this week handles an account where these ideas clash. Earlier parts of the meeting have addressed Nadab and Abihu and the illegitimate offerings that they made. And when we consider the backdrop of this, the temple or the tabernacle had just been inaugurated. It took them a year to get to this point. Sacrifices were finally happening. And within a few days, with all this excitement and enthusiasm, you've got Nadab and Abihu. Not exactly off to an auspicious start. Pure worship actually started with a scandal. So this had to be handled, and handled quickly. It was time to put the provisions for the sin offering to good use. Now, if you were there, how would you have handled this situation? Would you have reasoned that now is not the time to be casual or half-hearted? Now is the time to get everything just right, down to the smallest detail. If you're reasoning this way, then you're reasoning as Moses did. In fact, let's look at the account here. We're going to pick up Moses' words at Leviticus chapter 10, verse 16, where it says, "And Moses diligently searched for the goat of the sin offering, and he had discovered that it had been burnt up." And we could put in parentheses here, "and not eaten the way it was supposed to be." So he grew indignant at Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's son, who were left. And he said, "Why did you not eat the sin offering in the holy place?" Wasn't this the time to be following the instructions to every last detail? So not only is Moses dealing with the scandal of Nadab and Abihu, now his successors are also seem to be going off the rail. But let's look and see how this was handled. Let's look at Aaron's response. Aaron starts in verse 19. Aaron replied to Moses, "Look, today they presented their sin offering and their burnt offerings before Jehovah. And yet these things happened to me." And we could put in parentheses there, "my family." Even though he bore no direct responsibility for this, it was still his family. "If I had eaten the sin offering today, would that have been pleasing to Jehovah?" When Moses heard that, he was satisfied. Now, Aaron was reasoning very differently from Moses here. So we need to ask, what did the eating of the sacrifice represent? It represented the restoration of a peaceful relationship with Jehovah. So the sin offering, if this was anyone else in the nation, anyone else, the sinner would be coming with his offering, and the sinner obviously in an unclean state, bringing his offering, and the priest, who is Jehovah's representative and therefore clean and holy, would accept that sacrifice and by partaking of it would indicate that the relationship has been restored. But this was a weird situation. In this case, Aaron's family was the one bringing the unclean sacrifice, and Aaron's family was also accepting that sacrifice. So you had the unclean sinner and the clean representative of Jehovah being represented by the same people. Aaron reasoned, that can't possibly be right. If they're not in a clean state, how can they act in a capacity that required them to be clean? Now, Aaron didn't always get it right, but in this case, Aaron got it right. He did good. Moses accepted that answer, and so did Jehovah. So what lessons can we draw out of this? Not only does it tell us that the principle is more important than the rule, but we can go even a step further in how do we put that to use? They didn't use exceptional circumstances as justification to handle it however they pleased. They did everything they could do first. They offered the burnt offering. They carried the blood to the right place. And they only reserved the exceptions for the parts that they could not do in good conscience. And going one more step further, and more importantly, how do we decide when to do things just so, and when flexibility and consideration are needed? If we remember nothing else about this account, if we forget the names Eleazar and Ithamar, if we forget all the details of the sin offering, remember this point. If unusual circumstances arise and exceptions need to be made, we analyze our course of conduct and we ask the same question Aaron did at the end of verse 19. We ask, would that have been pleasing to Jehovah? If that is our foremost consideration, we'll never go wrong.